Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after have you done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditations of each heart here this morning might be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How can I get better at prayer? Today we're concluding our series of sermons on prayer. Over the past few weeks, we've sought to understand more about the God to whom we pray. Who are we that we should pray at all? We've thought about whether God is listening or even interested in our prayers, and whether or not he even answers them. We've asked questions like, when should we pray? What should we pray about? All with the idea of getting us as individuals and as a church to be better at praying. So the final one says, how can I get better at praying? I want to consider three things this morning. They're actually on your news sheet in the middle, the three things that I want to consider. The first one is, in order to get better at prayer, you've got to understand what is the purpose of praying. Secondly, I think you've got to have a plan to go about it. And thirdly, you've got to develop a passion to pray. That's where we're heading this morning. Understanding the purpose of prayer. We often begin, as young Christians, with the understanding that prayer is simply submitting our needs to God. And while it is that, it is a lot more than that. It's not so much submitting our needs to God, but submitting ourselves to God. It's more us getting on board with God and his purposes than us seeking to twist his arm to do our bidding. It's us learning to enjoy talking to our Heavenly Father and wanting to hallow his name and see his kingdom come, as we've heard over the last couple of weeks. It's us enjoying being in relationship with God and glorifying him, not wrestling with his reluctance to bless, but laying hold of his willingness to bless. And in prayer, the agenda of the kingdom becomes our agenda as we seek his face at every opportunity and submit to his kingly rule. So it's both an encounter with an awesome God as well as a conversation with our Heavenly Father. We read today that God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And like in the Lord's Prayer, our conversations will be with a friend. And they will be a mixture, a balanced interaction, if you like, of praise confession, thanksgiving, and petition. And Michael Ramsey, a former Archbishop of Canterbury, put it this way: to be with God wondering, that's adoration. To be with God gratefully, that is thanksgiving. To be with God ashamed, that is contrition. To be with God with others on our heart, that is intercession. Brother Lawrence coined a phrase, practicing the presence of God. And for him, living his life each day in conversation with his Heavenly Father, sort of all day, if you like, he talked about practicing the presence of God in his life. We heard also this morning Moses longed to see God's glory, but he was prevented. But we are able to see God's glory in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Moses wanted to see the Father, but we've been told, yes, you can see God's glory in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the major purposes of our prayer, of prayer, is to reorient our view toward God when our focus is more often on ourselves. One of our parishioners said it this week, prayer feeds and nourishes our faith, causing us to continually surrender our lives to a loving God and draw our strength from him. In Luke 21, Jesus encouraged his disciples to be on the alert, to pray always, that they would have strength to go safely through all the things that he knew were ahead of them as disciples of Christ. And likewise, Paul encouraged the churches to the same way, always be joyful, pray at all times, and be thankful in all circumstances as we hallow God's name and await his coming. So prayer is developing our relationship with God. That's what we're doing in prayer. We need to move away from that idea that he's kind of like the royal divine butler and we just need to ask him for another pillow and he'll send it. That's a very sort of childlike view. We're developing our relationship with God and living day by day in his presence, so that laying our requests before him is a part of that, but it's a lot more. Let me ask you though, if you have a plan for prayer, you want to get better at prayer, you should have some sort of a plan as to how to go about it. Otherwise, it'll be very haphazard. Our generation, well, it's mine, some of you are older than me, some of you are younger than me, but my generation were taught the value of a quiet time, a time you set aside each day to be alone with God, a time to read and meditate upon his word, and to spend time in prayer. And even in our busy lives, it's still the best thing to do, to find some time every day where you will pray and read the scriptures. We need to work out the best time for us, but if you want to grow in your relationship with God and spend time in adoration and confession and intercession for others, you need to have a time that you've thought about. And somebody's observed, most of us have too much time on our hands and not enough on our knees. And I think when you read about some of the saints of old, it's pretty true. And the disciples asked Jesus, actually didn't say, teach us how to pray. They actually said, teach us to pray. Sometimes we don't even really know that we've just got to be taught to pray. That is, to get on with it. Sometimes we're busy worrying about how to, but we've just got to be taught to pray. That would be enough if we more of us started praying. You can read all the books and hear all the sermons you like on prayer, but the best way to get better at prayer is to start praying. No one ever gets better at cooking by watching all the cooking shows and reading all the cooking books. It's when you actually start putting it into practice that you're going to get better. And it's the same with prayer. Prayer can be hard work. Not always a simple little thing. Remember Abraham arguing with God, Jacob wrestling with God, Jesus toiling all night in prayer, and Moses coming before God to ask about his people. That was hard work. So we need to spend time doing it. That's the way you're going to get better at it. We think of Jesus' sadness that his disciples couldn't even manage an hour. How sad that must have been for him who could spend a night in prayer, asked his disciples, just watch with me an hour, just pray while I go over here. Comes back and they're all asleep. That has been a very sad moment for Jesus. And his brother James rebuked people when he wrote his letter saying, you have not because you ask not. You just don't pray. It's really an exhortation. Get on with it and pray. Spend time praying. So if you're convinced about prayer and enjoy it, if you want to get better at prayer, you need planned times to pray. Keeping in mind the advice we had in one of our sermons from Keith that we need to pray when we've planned to, and we need to pray when we haven't planned to. And we have to pray sometimes with little arrow prayers or spot prayers, I think Keith called them. So we have our planned time and we have our unplanned time. We have times when we gather and pray with others. And Jesus promised his presence when we pray with other people. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And so, this could be your spouse. This could be other family members. It could be your friends, your small group. Following the examples and exhortations in the early church, we should be praying as a church. In recent years, we've begun to have more church prayer meetings. We should be doing that. That's how we're going to get better as a church. That's how the early church did it. They gathered together to pray. And not only on Sundays, but at other times. It's just a sad fact that often the meeting that is least attended in the church will be the prayer meeting. We could fill the church yesterday with 600 plus people for the cantata. But if you said next Saturday afternoon we're going to have a prayer meeting, we want to pray for the Hills District, we want to pray for all our missionaries, do you think we'd get 600? I don't think so. But we need to be praying. We need to get better at it. We need to do it as a church as well as an individual. But I want to remind you at this point, not only do we do it as an individual, in small groups, in large groups, there is an enemy. I remember mentioning this when I gave one of the sermons. He doesn't want you to get better at prayer at all. He doesn't want me to be preaching this sermon because he doesn't want you to get better at prayer. He's saying, well, that 2020 business, that'll come around next year. It'll be all right. We'll be okay. Don't get too excited about it now. You don't need to start praying just yet. That's what Satan's trying to do. You need to be aware there's an enemy. And so the reading we had from Ephesians reminded us our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual forces who are saying, don't pray. Don't get excited about prayer. Don't come to the prayer meeting. You've had a busy week. That's Satan wanting us not to pray and leave the 2020 mission to others who get excited about those things. But we're told by Paul, be strong in the Lord, put on the whole armor of God, that you can stand against the wiles of the devil, and put on the whole armor, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. And our secret weapon is pray as we resist the devil. And the Bible tells us he will flee. So we've just got to be on active duty. We have prayer points for missionaries. We have lists of the sick. We have an online prayer network in the church now. And we've even got an app that you can download to get prayer points to pray. Today, you've also been given a small bookmark like this. This has something to pray for. So the very least you can do is to pray something for each day of this week. It tells you what to pray for this church on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, etc. That's the very least thing you can do. Pop that in your Bible or near your bedside. You'll have a little guide to pray for as you pray for this church. So as the song says, really, there's nothing to it but to do it. We've got to get on and pray. But the third thing I want to say, firstly, you've got to understand what prayer is. It's not just coming with a list. It's growing in your relationship with your Heavenly Father, which should bring you great joy. People like Moses, when you read that, they couldn't get enough. People like David. You need to have a passion to pray. To get better at praying, you need to have a passion for God and His glory and a passion for praying. For without a passion, your prayer life will just drift aimlessly along. As I read the scriptures, I'm inspired by the passion that the patriarchs and the prophets and people like David had to spend time in God's presence. I've been challenged by the examples of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've mentioned Abraham and Jacob. We've read of Moses, whose face lit up, the Bible says, every time he went into that tent of meeting and he came out, they had to put a cover over his face because his face shone that he'd been in the presence of God. We don't have a lot of shiny faces these days. We don't have a lot of people who are in the presence of God, and it so lifts them up that the neighbours are saying, wow, he's been with God. His face is so shiny. Wouldn't that be a testimony to others? And David, who said in Psalm 55, I call to the Lord and he saves me. Evening, morning and noon, I cry out to him and he hears my voice. Or the fact that he was so overjoyed when someone said to him, let us go into the house of the Lord together. It was a great joy for David to go into the house of the Lord so he could spend time with God. Last year we heard of Daniel, who prayed faithfully three times a day with passion and couldn't be deterred when he was threatened with his life. And have you not been challenged by the example of our Lord, who turned to his Heavenly Father at each major milestone in his life, choosing his disciples? He spent the whole night in prayer. Imagine what that would have been like. Should I have Andrew? Should I have John? Should I have Bartholomew, Lord, Father? Imagine him trying to pray through this list and pray all, oh, that's that other people. Should I? And he spends a whole night praying for his disciples. Passion to pray. And a fervent prayer before he died, where his sweat was like drops of blood as he prayed to his Heavenly Father. This is passion. Jesus praying when he was worried that people were just following him because of the miracles that he did and not because they wanted to know more about God or come to know their Lord and Saviour. They were just following him because they'd eaten their fill of the loaves. The early church prayed with passion as well. On one occasion, we're told in the Acts of the Apostles, so passionate was their prayer that the whole building was shaking. Wouldn't that be great? If we had a prayer meeting here for the 2020 mission, suddenly the building's shaking because we're calling on God through His Spirit to change the Hills District. The Apostle Paul prayed constantly for his churches and urged them to pray for him. Can you imagine what the Apostle Paul's prayer list would have been like? Prays for Philippi, prays for Colossae. He remembers all the people in those places. Pray for those ladies that are not getting on in Philippi. Pray for this. Pray for that. Pray for his co-workers. Just going through his list of prayers every day, every night. That's a passion for prayer. And as a young Christian, I was always challenged by the example of the saints who've gone before. George Whitfield, up at 4 a.m. to pray. John Wesley, Martin Luther, who both prayed for several hours every morning, lest the devil got the victory. I've been inspired too by the life of people. There's a fellow called E.M. Bounds, Edward McKendry Bounds, was one that I read about when I was young. He was just a person that radiated prayer. When people were on a conference with E.M. Bounds, they just saw him quietly praying, going into his room, just not wanting to sit and have coffee with people. You found E.M. Bounds, he'd be over there praying for people. And he was such an inspiring example. Or George Mueller, the English fellow who ran an orphanage entirely on prayer, and night after night would fall asleep in his armchair praying that God would provide the needs of those children. These are inspiring, passionate people with prayer. And Paul reminded Timothy that the spirit we've been given is not a spirit of timidity. It's a spirit of power, self-control. And he urged the Colossian church to devote itself to prayer. Prayer is our great privilege and responsibility. And I love Moses' pondering question in Deuteronomy 4, verse 7. He says, "What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way our God is near to us when we pray to him?" Isn't that a marvelous verse? Deuteronomy 4, 7. What other nation? We could say, what other religion is so great as to have their God near them the way our God is when we pray? Is that not a call to prayer? Do you have a passion to know God and get better through prayer and a passion to lay your requests before him? Let me finish with one example of what I call passion. Last year I heard a young fellow, you might never heard his name, Cameron Girdlestone. He was a member of the Australian men's quad fours at the Rio Olympics 2016. They were pipped on the post by the Germans for the gold medal and had to settle for silver. Cameron Girdlestone is a young school teacher in Sydney, married. He decided to take 18 months off teaching, take himself to Canberra to train at the Australian Institute of Sport because his team is not happy with silver. They want to get gold in Tokyo next year. So he rows every day, 30 kilometres in the morning and 30 kilometres in the afternoon, 6 days a week, to get better at rowing. Is that not passion? You might think nobody needs to do the rowing, not that important. But the point is, there's a man with a passion for rowing. Don't you think as believers we should have a passion for praying, that we can come before our God and want to devote ourselves to praying? That's the point I'm trying to make. Where are the Wesleys and the Whitfields? I used to think, well, they lived in days, no TV, no this, no that, no shopping malls. So they needed to do something with their time. They fill it up with prayer, good on them. I live in a busier life now. You know, so many things to do. I've got a motor car to drive. I've got places to see. I've got kids in South Australia. He never had all that. So I can opt out of being a Wesley or a Whitfield. But can I? Should I not be a person who's wanting to devote more of myself to prayer? Do you have that passion to pray? Can you get better? Has this sermon series inspired you to get better at praying? Do you understand why we pray? Do Do you have a plan to go about praying? And do you have a passion to pray?